Accession number 19599, Reel 3.
Richard Hilder, Reel 3.
Yes, I was saying that the K rations were very meagre rations to fight a war on and a march in the... it was a very hot jungle, and sometimes we were lucky enough to get some rice from the villages, but basically we didn't have very good fare as regards eating. And another thing is, you didn't have the facilities to go and knock anything off very much in the way of game, because we had to keep in your column. You couldn't go wandering off, so our fare was pretty bad, very bad.
Could you get anything from villagers?
Well, not really. There may be that the Burma Rifles would go in and on a recce or something and bring some stuff back, or maybe the villagers would bring it out to us. I don't know what arrangements the column had with it, but sometimes we'd get a little extra rice or something to supplement the K rations. Or they'd throw in... You see, we were supplied by air supposedly every 4 days, and when you took a supply drop, they'd drop in bread, and which wouldn't last you. You couldn't carry it. You had to carry everything on your back, you see, so you couldn't carry very much in the way of food other than your K rations. And we had what they call a 3-day blowout, which might come every 4 days, or it might be even longer. And you had to make do with what you were given, what there was available.
Did you have enough to drink?
We didn't have enough to drink, no, because we had to carry all our water in what they call chagals, and water bottle. You could only carry so much. I think we were carrying around about 80 pounds wherever we went. So it was limited. All these sort of things were very limited. Sometimes if we couldn't find water, we went very thirsty, and so did the mules. We couldn't always find water. Had to make do.
What was discipline like on the march?
Very good. Our discipline was very good. Different to... the main discipline was to look after yourself and your friend. We more or less... all the chaps used to work in pairs, and they'd look after each other, and... our main discipline was to see that we were fit and as much as possible, and our rifles were clean, our feet were clean and healthy, and that's as far as it went, really. We didn't shave or anything like that. We had no badges of rank, and we weren't called Sir. I was always known as Dick to my platoon.
Were you paired off with somebody?
Well, I was a platoon commander, and I had platoon headquarters, which we worked together. There was a platoon sergeant, a runner, two runners, and the muleteer. That was a little platoon headquarters. Then there were four sections of 10 men each, four rifle sections in a platoon.
Who was your platoon sergeant?
I had first of all, there was Sergeant Pratt, And then there was a he was an old 26 Hussar. And then after that, he was made up to Sergeant Major, and I had a fellow from the Foresters, Sergeant, his name slips me for the moment.
Were they all right?
Oh yes, very good lads.
What were the duties of your platoon?
Well, we were a fighting platoon and belonged to platoon headquarters. We had to do basically look after the brigade headquarters. Then we were let out to other regiments if they got short of men. I remember once being, once or twice with the Leicesters, 7th Leicesters, and the Black Watch. I lent out to them, I can remember, probably others.
Did you bump into the enemy on this track?
Oh, yes, yes. Well, they were all around us, you see. We were behind the lines.
What happened when you bumped into them?
Well, there was a... Well, there was a battle of some sort, but you didn't see very much of them because of the jungle, you see. And it was strange. I can't remember now details, but I tended to want to forget about it. But they were always round us.
Why did you want to forget about it?
Well, I didn't like it. It was very unpleasant.
Was it horrific?
Well, yes, it was horrific. And you see, we lost 50% of our men, mostly from disease, but some of them were wounded and shot and killed. And the wounded, you see, had to struggle along. We couldn't. If they might be left in the villages, or they might struggle along as best they could until the next airdrop when they were flown out. But it was very basic warfare.
When you say that you lost 50%, you mean 50% dead?
Dead, yes.
Out of the brigade or the platoon? Or
I think, well, anyhow, in brigade headquarters, I think it was a general... More, I think you'll find in your records that something like that.
How many men in your platoon might have been killed?
Well, we started off with two platoons and muleteers in brigade headquarters. So there would have been, there was 40 and brigade. We ended up with a very depleted one platoon, which consisted of all the muleteers as well as the two platoons, and the muleteers had lost the mules. And of those, I used to have to go out on patrols, and I was lucky if I could get six men.
But they were actually killed?
Well, they were wounded or suffering from all sorts of disease and jungle sores, debilitated entirely.
Did you get men in your platoon who were actually shot by the Japanese?
Oh, yes, there were several shot, yes. Can't remember now how many.
But you wouldn't see the enemy who were firing at you?
Probably not, no.
So you wouldn't have a target to fire back at?
Well, we used to have to... great thing was silence. And... I didn't take part in any of these bayonet charges that some of them had, but my time with the Chindits, as far as that goes, was fairly low key. And I tended to forget about it if I can, but we. you couldn't see the enemy very much. Probably lob a grenade at him is the best way at it.
Were there any captives taken by either side?
No. No.
Did you ever come across dead Japanese?
Yes, a lot of dead Japanese, yes.
Who've been killed by you?
Well, been some of the times. We went an old battlegrounds and there were lots of them. And oh, you came across dead Japanese, yes, yes. Dead mules, dead Japanese, a terrible stink.
Would anything be taken from the dead Japanese?
Well, the intelligence people in brigade would obviously take any, but that wasn't our, we didn't have to do that. They'd go through anything they wanted, diaries and whatever they wanted. But we didn't have to do that. We didn't want anything to do with them.
What happened to the bodies of dead Chindas?
We buried them. Buried them.
Did you mark the graves?
Yes, we marked the grave usually with these bush hat or something like that on a cross.
How did you make the cross?
Just an old piece of bamboo. Something like that.
And did you do any disruption of communications or other Japanese installations?
Personally, I took part in it, I suppose, because that's what we were there for. That's what we were there for, was to disrupt the lines of communication. Basically, that's what the Chindits were for.
What specifically did you destroy or attack?
Well, I mean, not talking personally, I didn't take part actively in doing, but the Chindits and the 14 Brigade, they put blocks down on the roads and we blew up a railway line. When was that? Blew up a railway line somewhere, I remember, which had been blown up the year before. It was a bit beyond my sphere. I didn't personally have to decide what to do. I was just an ordinary platoon commander. I was told what to do, you know, whatever function. The engineers would do most of that, the Royal Engineers. They were known as the commando troops.
But did you see much in the way of modern installations, or was it just jungle and villages?
Jungle.
Did you come across roads and railways and buildings?
There were the, not any ordinary villages. The railway, it was the Burma Railway, which I did see the odd time. The roads were very, very basic. Very basic. Some of them weren't even passable in the rain. Some of them were a bit better than that. But they were, as regards roads, they weren't what we know as roads. They were just tracks.
Did you reach Indore in the end?
I didn't personally. I was there was a battle there. I didn't personally.
Why did you not reach it?
Because I was told to go somewhere else, I think.
Were you injured or sick?
No, I was very sick, but I wasn't injured. No, I wasn't wounded. I did have a bullet went through the top of my water bottle, but apart from that, I wasn't injured.
What were you sick from? What were your symptoms?
Malaria and all those sort of things.
Diarrhea?
Yes. We were very debilitated. And They said that we would be, none of the Chindits would be were fit for any further action. I think that was the words they used at the end of it.
Were you taking a prophylactic against malaria?
Yes, we had the Mepocrine pills for malaria, but that didn't seem to stop it.
But you took them faithfully, did you?
You took them every day, yes. And then, of course, we had water pills for chlorinating the water. Boiled the water, but... there were people died of all sorts of things. Typhus, malaria, everything.
Did your two sergeants survive?
Yes, they did, yes. One was a sergeant. He was a brigade sergeant major in the end. He had to deal with whatever he did. And the other sergeant, he came through. McGann was in his name, by the way. McGann from the Foresters.
What was your opinion of the Japanese enemy at the time?
Very low. They're very good soldiers, but my opinion of them was very low.
From the moral point of view?
They were just a beastly race, that's all. Beastly race.
So what happened to you next?
Well, we went through the Chindit campaign and ended up, we were in behind the lines for 6 months, 14 Brigade. You can read up about their exploits far better than I can describe them because they're tabulated, but personally, I was ended up by being attached to the 2nd Black Watch, and we were, as you know, we were under command of the Chinese general, Joe Stillwell, who thought it a good idea to put us on the in the line then. So we 36 division were coming down through us from the north, and there was a battle at Labu. I remember I was with the Black Watch, my platoon as it was, took part with the Black Watch at the Battle of Labu, and we were fighting in the line with the other regiments of the 36th Division.
So this is after you'd recovered from the Chindit?
That was, well, we hadn't recovered. We hadn't even been flown out. The 36th Division came through us. They occupied the land where we were, the ground where we were. Then after the Battle of Labu...
Can you describe what happened in the Battle of Labu?
Only thing I can remember, I didn't take a very, I think I was on the right-hand flank somewhere, and the battle luckily didn't seem to find me very much. I can't remember exactly what function I performed, but I know they had flown the bagpipes in, and I believe somebody had composed a tune to be played on at this battle. But the Black Watch will know more about that. But after that...
Which platoon did you have?
Oh, the leftovers from brigade headquarters. There was only very few of us left. It was two brigade platoons and all the muleteers bulked into one body, which was very depleted.
But you were part of the Black Watch?
No, I was... We were lent to the Black Watch for this for that period of time, because I suppose I used to get our platoon used to be lent out to different functions throughout the brigade. We were more or less reserve. After that, we marched to Mogong and were flown out from Michinar to Assam, somewhere in Assam. Then after that, my memory is fairly hazy, but I think Bangalore came into it somewhere. And eventually the Chindits were disbanded and me and my men carried on with 14 Brigade, where we went to Secunderabad and formed the 14 Indian Air Landing Brigade.
Had you fully recovered from your Chindit experience by then?
Yes, I was recovering. Recovered, yes, yes.
What was this 14th Indian Landing Brigade?
Well, it was, there were the Black Watch, 2nd Black Watch, and some Indian regiments. I remember the Rajputana Rifles were one of them. I can't really remember the rest, but I was in brigade headquarters still, fulfilling the rank of camp commandant. My platoon would be by then being turned into such things as clerks, police, and whatever in the brigade headquarters. So still armoured corps. At this juncture, all the other ranks who had been in the 26 Hussars were posted to Pune Depot, which was the Armoured Corps depot in India. And I was posted to the 3rd Carbineers, who were by then halfway down India, halfway down Burma.
In what capacity did you join 3rd Carbineers?
I joined the 3rd Carbineers as a troop leader. I flew in to Mike Teela and joined them on a tank transporter, arriving in B Squadron at Ravelli one morning, and was allotted number 4 troop of B Squadron.
Whereabouts in Burma did you join them?
It would be between Mount Popper and Prome, because soon after I joined B Squadron, my troop led an attack into Prome, and then we went south, ending up in Rangoon. Afraid I can't describe. I did have one quite hairy battle when we shot nearly all the rounds out of the tank. My leading tank of my troop had the bridge blown up in front of it, and then we were shelled by Japanese artillery, which was fairly exciting. But apart from that, my memory is fairly hazy. We had all sorts of little skirmishes on the way down there. And eventually the Japanese, as you know, were chased away. And this battle I was telling about, the bridge, is where the Japanese from the Arakan were coming across our front. And they were on the run then anyway. We got them on the run and kept them going. Overran the one Japanese position. I remember met a Japanese bicyclist coming in the wrong direction.
What happened to him?
He didn't last very long and his bicycle was pinched.
What state were the Japanese in by now?
I'm sorry?
What state were the Japanese
They were beaten. By? They were beaten, yeah.
What was the condition of the individual Japanese?
I wasn't interested. If I came anywhere near them, I knew what condition they were in, but I wasn't interested in them. They were pretty badly shaken up, I think.
What reception were you getting from the Burmese villagers at this time?
The Burmese, not very good. They weren't like the northern, the Chins, the tribes from up in northern Burma, who were very friendly to us and very brave. But the Burmese, I don't think I could say were the same. I didn't have much connection with them, of course.
Any other incidents that happened to you in this push south?
Not that I can remember.
How efficient were the 3rd Carabineers?
Oh, very good. They'd been there ever since Imphal. They'd been right the way through from Imphal, siege of Imphal, right down to Rangoon. Same old tanks that we had trained on in the 26 Hussars, funnily enough.
Lees?
Yes, the same old tanks, old Bluebird and Borzoi, I remember. Same old tanks that we'd had training in India, and they'd gone all the way down Burma. They were absolutely clapped out by the time we'd finished. The wireless sets used to go off the air when it rained, and the guns were coppered up. But they did a marvellous job, those old Lee tanks.
What happened next?
Then from Rangoon.
What did you find in Rangoon when you got there?
Oh, it was very rough. It was in a poor old state. I can't remember, but there was nothing happening in Rangoon.
Was there law and order there?
Oh, yes. I think it was more or less deserted. Our tanks were then taken to pieces and scrapped. We had to pull them to pieces and they were scrapped, and the Carabineers went to India, and I remember we ended up at Ahmednagar, where we were, let's see, my memory.